There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Alexa, what's the temperature?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with It's the Interview Series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network, thank you for making your way here, for checking out the episode. If you're not already, please do hit that subscribe button, though. That way you'll get three new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover those new ones, of course, you can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and a review. While you're there, we've had some incredible people stopping by lately. Kiana Simone was just here. She's starring in The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat. Akon dropped by to talk about the 20th anniversary of Trouble. Michelle and Degio Cello, Jojo Garza from Los Lonely Boys, Edie Brickell, the cast of Bad Monkey on Apple TV Plus, Rob Halford from Judas Priest, Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction, Jacob Bertram. You can see him in the latest season of Cobra Kai on Netflix. We also talked with Nikki, Robert Plant, Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, Paul Feig, who directed Jackpots, out now on Prime Video. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, blues titan Sugar Ray Rayford. He's got a brand new record called Human Decency that we're going to be talking about. He'll discuss his growing up in really severe poverty in Texas before making his way to California, finding his voice in R&B and blues, and meeting a pre-famous Vanilla Ice, as well as how his time in the Marines influenced his style of social justice lyrics, while also taking a page from Prince's book about how to distill all of it into upbeat party music. Rayford's going to go on to dig into the backstory behind songs like Failing Upwards and the sexy sway of Hanky Panky. And also, he's going to tell us about his contributions to the upcoming tribute albums for both Bill Withers and Little Feat's Lil George. All that and more as we talk Human Decency. It's Kyle Meredith with Sugar Ray Rayford.
Hey, Kyle, how you doing, brother?
Been hearing you for a handful of years, been seeing what you've been out there doing, been seeing those Grammy nominations and everything that's been going on. Congrats on the new record. Let's start there.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'll take that on behalf of me and Eric Cornyn Boy Blow, because it is definitely a partnership. So I'm pretty happy with it.
I know you've been busy out there. What did I just see? You just back from Zurich? Is that right?
Well, I was in Switzerland. We had shows with my band in Sierra, Switzerland, up in the Alps, and then later we went down and did some time in Annecy, France, and then back to Basel, Switzerland, with the Blues Giants. And I got home, I think it was not last night, but the night before. So I'm still on jet lag. I woke up at 2:30 this morning, so I've been up since 2:30, like just wide awake.
How's that part of the world for you? Like, I've never spent any time over there.
None. Oh man, it's like one of the most beautiful places. I would tell you that Switzerland is probably one of the cleanest places you've ever been in your life. You know, I've always make the joke, but it's not a joke. It actually happened, to be out smoking my cigar like I always do and see the cleaning crew, the street cleaning crew, come up and sweep the sidewalk and everything, but actually take towels and squirt bottles and actually clean off the stop signs and yield signs by hand. Not with a power washer, but by hand.
What we don't have here.
Well, I don't know if we need that, but that's pretty like, wow, yeah.
right. Do we need that? That's a good point there. Do we actually need that here?
Do we actually need it? Yeah.
Well, that's, Switzerland, Zurich, all that. I know it's a long way from Texas where you grew up. I did want to start a little bit of just kind of backing up. You know, your background, because you grew up in Texas and you moved away since then in California. What was the story of being in Texas and finding the blues eventually? Because I know that's not where what you found originally. Is that right?
You know, like a lot of people, we grew up in abject poverty, basically homeless. I know that at one point, one of my uncles or great uncles maybe let us have a house that was a condemned house where he used to keep his trucks. We lived there with no running water. I remember taking baths outside with the water holes and all that kind of stuff. Man, you, this, we ain't about 1955 or 1940s. This is, you know, the early 70s. So, but, you know, gospel or, you know, to an even larger sense, music, period. So my mother was a great singer, bless her soul. It was always amazing. A few times I remember her singing that I would just look around and see the power that her voice had to shake people's perception and lives for, you know, 30, 40 minutes at a time. That power was amazing. And then, you know, I always loved to dance. And so, you know, I was a break dancer and all this. It's always funny because I always tell people, I remember meeting Vanilla Ice before he was Vanilla Ice.
Oh, wow.
His mother, they had somebody moved to Texas. I think his mother was a teacher in Chapel Hill. And I used to run a breakdancing class at the YMCA. And he came in a couple times and, you know, I had opportunity to go to Star Search. But my cousin chickened out at the last minute, didn't realize. That was the first time I ever realized that people got stage fright. And no, it was great, or as great as it could be. We made the best of it. And when my mother passed when I was 10, but I personally had always lived off the loan with my grandmother. So my grandmother was, without any disrespect, was more my mother than my mother was. And when she passed away, my brothers and I, both, all three of us, we moved in with our grandmother and kind of church full time and a little stability in life. And by the time I reached 17, 18, I knew I had to do something. And, you know, the way I was just raised, I just don't believe in begging for anything. If, you know, begging is the last of the last of the last resorts. You know, you always got to try to make it on your own. So my way out was I joined the Marine Corps. So after 2 years of that, that's what kind of wound me up in California, because no matter where they sent me in the world, no matter what was going on, when it was over with, for some reason, they always shipped me back to Southern California, which was a blessing in disguise.
Being in the Marines like that too, and I'll work into the types of songs that you make, because you like to focus on social justice a lot in your songs.
Yes.
There can be that idea of politically the type of person that's part of the armed forces, and that's a stereotype. And what I get from your music doesn't line up with that stereotype.
You know, it's kind of weird. I mean, I know where you're going, and it's very weird for me, you know, other than officers. It's always weird if I meet enlisted guys like myself who feel that way, because most of us come from very poor backgrounds, and we are, in the lack of having a better term, self-made men and women. You know, American military is an all-volunteer force. You know, you're not drafted, so people volunteer to go in for whatever reasons they go in. Some people it's patriotic. Some people it's a family tradition. Some people like me, it was a means to an end. I knew that joining the service, that I would get three hots in a cot I didn't have to worry about clothes and everything for at least 4 years. Now, after joining, you get quite a bit of patriotism and camaraderie from the people you with. But that, you know, being real, that was the reason I went in. That's not the reason I stayed in. Like I said, was just here for a while. But having said that, I was just always raised that people are people. My grandmother raised me, and I've always said my grandmother, as far as I know, never had a quote-unquote racist bone in her body. She didn't care if you was black, white, purple, or green. If you were an asshole, you're an asshole. If you're a good person, you're a good person. And I hope that I didn't get out of line by saying that on your podcast.
Not at all.
You know, and that's the way I was raised. So I don't really go in. I'm not saying that I'm colorblind. There's no such thing on this planet as being colorblind. That's full of crap. I know that you're a white man. You know that I'm a black man, or you're a Latino, or whatever. I will say that doesn't shape the way that I look at you. What shapes the way that I look at you is if after I spend time with you, whether or not you're a good person or not, and whether or not, you know, a book I read from my wife a long time ago, this is a little book with a long title, and it says, the people around you, do they empty your bucket or do they fill your bucket? I try to keep myself with people that fill my bucket. And so that's kind of where my whole mentality has always come from and been. And I'm at that age where I don't really give a damn what people think. I'm going to say what I got to say. You can listen or not listen.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors, with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Sugar Ray Rayford.
What you're saying in these songs, like, these are big talk. They're, let me say, it's very fun because it's a very fun album. You made this very fun music. But when you pull back that layer, right, when you peel it back, like, you're getting into some deep stuff here. That's not an easy trick to pull off.
I love what Prince always did. Prince always did it. You know, I call my little sister my wife's best friend for 30 plus years. She's a huge Prince fan. I mean, my God, she's probably been like 10 or 12 Prince concerts in her life. And some years back, before COVID, we were sitting in her house. She lives in San Francisco. She's literally on the corner of Hayden and Ashbury. She's on 8 Pierce. Yeah, great place. Anyway, we were in the living room one time, and we listened to some Prince stuff, and we're singing, and I'm doing the lyrics and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, what did he just say? And I'm like, you own the vinyl. My God, you've owned this vinyl for 20 plus years, you know. But she had never really listened to the lyrics. She listened to the lyrics, but not really. And I was like, huh. And this is the person that spent thousands of dollars to see this artist. What's going on there? Then I realized, you know, because that time I was just doing straight blues, just straight ahead blues, which I still love. I'm a blues man in heart and soul, and I will be. But I realized, like, I really like this idea of rapping really hearty or really heady topics into really, really groovy music, because you're getting a twofold. So yes, people are out dancing and shaking what their mama gave them, but if they happen to be home one day sitting by themselves, sipping on a little cognac, smoking a cigar, and just sitting there, you know, letting your mind relax, and then you start listening to, like, whoa, what did he just say? You know, that's to me is great music. Music that every time you listen to it, you hear something different. And I wanted to make sure that there's something that the difference that you heard is always be trying to galvanize people together. I really am against this whole, and people get so caught up, you know, when you're young, even older, you get so baptized or ideologized, is not really a word, or culturalized into a way of thinking, and not realizing that in America, this is a capitalist country. I love this country. I fought for this country. I bled for this country. But you also have to be real enough to realize that there's only one color in America, and that's green, whether you're black, white, or purple. And people got to realize that all of us poor people, the rich, whether they're black, white, green, whatever, really could give a flying flip. What the only thing keep us, you know, we're still the most economic base if we ever got together. That's not lost on the rich, but it is lost on the poor. So it has always been a thing of divide and conquer. As long as you can keep poor white folks thinking that they're better than poor black folks, or poor black folks thinking they're better than poor Latinos, or whichever way around, then you'll never have them where they're actually going to get together and really accomplish anything. And then that means that you over here can do whatever the hell you want to do. And it is that way. And so my whole thought has always been like, wake the hell up, people. You know, it doesn't matter what color you are. How much green do you have in your pocket? Really? I mean, yes, it may be some things where you have the money and the old boy network may keep you out because you're black, white, but you could always go and start your own if you have enough economic resources. So the only real color in America is green.
Yeah, in fact, you were saying that, and I was thinking of Prince's song, America, from Around the World in a Day, which kind of says all that with a great beat on top of it.
Yes, it is.
Failing Upwards, Human Decency, Dirty Rat. Oh.
What's really strange is it doesn't matter what conspires, that doesn't seem to change people's mind one way or the other. But failing upwards, you know, just like the CEO of Boeing, you know, really, you, this is not just an American thing. Again, this is a world thing, but it's the same thing. Like you screwed this up and you're leaving with a golden parachute. So let me understand this. Let me break this down in layman terms. So you messed up the job and you're allowed to quit, and we're going to make you rich after you screwed up, failing upwards. Where if it was you and I, you know, if we'd be lucky if we got a severance pay, usually it's just a couple weeks of pay and, you know, wait for your insurance to ride out and then try to figure out through Cobra or whomever else. But anyway, yeah, that's, and so I'm just, Eric and I both, you know, we're just kind of, we're pulling the scab off of these things, but we're trying to do it as surgically as possible because I think people have been beat up enough. So our thought is just give them great music. And then if it's 3 weeks later and they're really sitting down, listen to the lyrics, you know, it's also a bong among song. It's not like we're reinventing the wheel. It's just trying to wrap it in something that, you know, sugar and castor oil. So.
Well, I do love how you do it. Like I said, for all the reasons that you've said it, you know, to lay back and enjoy it and have fun, and then to kind of dig into that. And again, I just keep looking at that, like, Ain't That a Man, another great moments, you know, that, of this stuff that we're talking about. And then there, you know, some sexy jams on there too, you know, just for a little bit of the balance, the hanky panky.
You got to have some balance, man.
I think I appreciate those just as much as the other ones.
Well, you know, when Eric brought me Hanky Panky, I was kind of like, okay. But, you know, the more and more I listen to it, the more and more I say, like, oh, okay, all right. Maybe it does have a place on this album. And you know, Eric Korn, the whole reason that I signed with Eric was to do things differently. And it, because, like I said before that, all the albums had been straight ahead blues stuff. You know, all my albums. I did a lot of guesting on a lot of different things, but all my albums. And I had just finished that album with The World We Live in 2017 with the members from the Terry Roy family and the Daptone guys, some of those guys, the bass players and whatnot. And I really loved that. I had always loved that soulful thing. And I was like, man, you know, the blues used to have all these great soul singers. People would call them out, call them soul singers, but they were blues guys. So, you know, the Bobby Bland's, the Obie Wright's, the Tyrone Davis's, the blah, 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 like, where is this music gone? You know, pretty much the blues has become Southern rock. I mean, no disrespect, it is what it is. You have that generation from the 60s and 70s that grew up rock, that discovered blues that way, and they are the generation that's out there buying the material. But I have told Eric as well, I've told a lot of people, I think it's my calling right now is to bring the soul and that gospel feel back to the blues and to soul music, because soul music is almost, we had a little resurgence up there for a while with the Erykah Badus and the Jill Scotts and the D'Angelo's and the Music Soul Childs and a few, you know, they call it neo soul, but then it kind of just died again. But I'm like, dude, there's always an audience for soul and soul blues. There's always the reason why it keeps coming back, is because it's just, when it's done right, it's great music.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Sugar Ray Rayford.
It's also interesting for you, for as long as you've been doing it too, to find a new voice and for that to suddenly be the dominant voice for you. Like, that doesn't really happen a lot of times with a lot of artists. By this point, somebody settled, you know, they know what their tool belt carries.
I don't want to, you know, I never want to be quote unquote pigeon, but I think having 17, 18 years of not doing music really helped me kind of not pigeonhole myself, because when I came back into music, I was a bouncer and bodyguard with my own business and all that. And I was working at a rock club that also was doing dance music. And then, you know, I started, my first band was a soul funk band, like a cover band or tribute band, sort of speaking. That was very successful in the San Diego area. But I was longing for that gospel, that feel I used to get with gospel that I just couldn't get with other things. And then that's how I kind of slipped into the blues world. and been in the blues world for a while and been very blessed and very lucky with the things that happened. But that feeling of that soul gospel thing, I never left. So, you know, after doing that Where We Living album in Rome, it really rekindled. I just at the time was like, you know, I just don't want to go back and do another 145, whether it be Chicago, Delta, West Coast Swing. I really want to do something with some real chord changes and speak on some things and talk. And I'm sorry if I'm getting long-winded. I don't know how much time we have. But I had just came off a world tour. I think we had been out 7 or 8 months. And I landed in Memphis. I didn't even go home because it was a Blues Music Awards. And I had promised the president and a few other people that I would definitely come through and I'd blah, blah, blah. And I remember standing on the corner, dressed to the nines, full suit and everything, in front of the Orpheum Theater there off in Memphis, getting ready to go in because my buddy Del Toro Richardson had invited me, like, Ray, you here, come up and do a couple numbers with me and blah, blah. I'm like, okay, cool. But my wife and I were standing there on the corner and I was just exhausted. You know, like, the jet lag had just, I got bags on my head, but the jet lag had just hit me hard. And I looked at my wife and I'm like, you know, babe, I know we already dressed up and everything. I just want to go back to the room and crash. And she was like, yeah, me too. And just at that time, my booking agent came up and said, hey, what's going on? You going to come in? I was like, no, nah, man. He's like, you dressed? I'm like, I'm dressed. I said, but I got nothing left, man. He said, what are you about to say? We're about to bounce and head back to the room and sleep it off. And we'll come out tomorrow and make a fair run in it. And that's when he said, well, got this guy that want to meet you. And I'm just like, dude, I really, come on, man. You know, he's like, yeah, this guy, Eric Corn, dude, you know, he's out of LA. And so that's how I met Eric Corn. And so Eric started talking business. And I'm like, dude, whoa. My wife is my manager. You can talk to her. You know, and the rest, as they say, so far has been history. This is our third album. And he really gets me. And the biggest thing for me is I told Eric that I wanted to break out of my everyday quote unquote mold. So I'm giving you carte blanche to do whatever. And you know, he's like, but no, I want you to tell me if it's bad or good. I said, yeah, well, that's the whole problem is I don't want to know if it's bad or good. I just want to go out and sing it. And you know, I just have this rule that I don't sing anything that I don't believe is true or I haven't lived. And I've been lucky enough that all the albums I've done have been anything from my diary or things that I've actually lived. Now I go back to my gospel days where we were always taught that you can sing a lie. Just as easy as you could tell a lie. And so anyway, now, I mean, I don't know if I can answer the question. I went way over to the left.
you definitely answered every bit of that. And I also want to let you talk about the people you're playing with too, because I mean, there's some great names on here.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got Taraz, you got Rick Holstrom, you got Sasha Smith, you got my keyboard player, Drake Shine, Robert Shine, and my guy, Amon, as well as, you know, Painter and all those guys that I've known for a while. I'm, you know, pretty good friend with Jimmy Favino and all those guys from that show. And so it's been a blessing. And before, you know, with my own band, like on the first two albums, I used my old horn section, which was the Amy Winehouse old horn section. They were my guys. And, you know, since the pandemic, I've switched it up, but I still do some work with them all the way over in London. I'm glad that Eric allowed that to happen. But this album, Eric kept it. You know, he's got his core guys that he used, and I love those guys. Matt, no, most of those guys I already knew because, you know, the music were in the small, so we already knew each other. So, and they worked a lot with Eric, and that makes it easier for the producer. It makes it easier for me, and they play their asses off.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you see the Amy Winehouse movie? I haven't. I just remember. I haven't seen that.
No, I have not seen it. No. But I have enough of the inside stories, you know, having those guys in the bands and, you know, messing around. And like I said,
you don't need to see the movie.
No. Well, you know, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I got you. So the tour happens throughout the year. You're going to close it with two nights in Vegas before Americana Fest.
If you say so.
Well, right. That's what's posted anyway. That's
And they keep adding dates. And I'm just like, I don't even look. Because I get too anxious and too, like, I don't even look. Like, when it's time, put the ticket in my hand, I'll go where, you know.
You show up where it's. Outside of that, though, what's this I saw that you're included on the Lowell George tribute?
Man, that was great, man. Again, Eric Corn, man, the producer extraordinaire. I love that guy, dude. Not only that, he's a freaking wordsmith. But he's well-connected. And, you know, Eric is one of those guys everybody likes. And so he called me up And he said, "Hey man, my buddy, a buddy of mine, big name producer, and forgive me because I can't call the name right now, but he's putting together this Little Feet tribute." And I'm like, "Oh, you know, I actually used to know one of the guitar players from Little Feet from back in the day, and blah, 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 blah." Next thing I know, they're like, "Well, they want you to come in and do a track." And I'm like, "Man, I'd be honored." The fact that they would even think of me, you know, a blues cat, but, you know, got in there. We did Feast Don't Fail Me Now. If you can find it, I actually think I did a pretty good job, but it was great, man. And again, it's nice not to be pigeonholed. It's nice to be able to do different projects, I think. And I'm really proud that they did that. And then there's another one coming out. There's another one coming out that is for Bill Withers.
Oh, and, wow. You
know, Elvis Costello is on that one. Mr. Gadsden is on that. It's a lot of big names on there. And I'm doing a Bill Withers song on that album that he never, how do you put this? He performed it once at Carnegie Hall. And that's
I only can't write left-handed. Well, that's what I remember from Carnegie Hall.
Okay, could be, but it was never on any of his albums. And I'm doing that song on that tribute. So yeah, it's been really cool.
Wow, man, I can't wait to hear all that. And I'm looking forward to hearing the Feet Don't Fail Me Now. I mean, that's one of the great songs of all time right there.
So. It is, I think so. And the fact that they left it for me, I was like, okay, yeah. I say, even I know that one.
Right on, man. Well, congratulations on this record again. Seriously, and all the accolades that's come for you. It's been so great to kind of see that. I'm hoping to catch one of these live shows too. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Well, no, Kyle, thank you, brother. I appreciate it very, very much. And to all you listeners out there, remember, life is short. Go dance. Have fun. You never know when it's going to end.
My thanks, Sugar Ray Ray, for the latest album is Human Decency. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. You made it all the way here. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you're not already. Again, you'll get 3 new interviews every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. In fact, you'll get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You're going to get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from the Velvet Underground, The Fix, Karen O, Betty, Garbage, Lenny Kravitz, Old 97's, Temple of the Dog, Ezra Collective, Nicole Adkins, Trey Burt, Bob Seger, Bonnie Prince Billy, Katie Pruitt, Kim Deal, Budos Band, Wolfpack, Mavis Staples, and my interview with actress Victoria Justice, who not only has new music, but is also starring in the reboots of Suits. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm on this side of the grass. It's always a good time.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.